Welcome to episode 1187 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This is our series 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look. Today we explore one of the most extraordinary conversations in all of Scripture, an extended dialogue between the risen Jesus and two disciples who, though walking beside him, do not yet see him for who he truly is. The sun was already beginning its descent as two travelers walked slowly along the dusty road that led from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles away. Their robes kicked up bits of gravel with each weary step. Their conversation was urgent, animated, sorrowful.
I still can't believe it. After everything he did, everything he said, how could it end like this?
The way they mocked him, beat him, hung him like a criminal. I keep seeing the cross whenever I close my eyes.
And now the tomb is empty. Some women claim they saw angels saying he was alive, but I don't know what to believe anymore.
What are you discussing so intently as you walk?
They stopped, startled. A stranger had joined them, but they hadn't recognized him. Grief can blind us, and sorrow can cloak even the most familiar face.
Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened these past days?
What things?
About Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him.
But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel, and now it's the third day since all this happened.
Some women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They said they saw a vision of angels who told them he was alive. Some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see.
How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then enter his glory?
Their eyes searched his, puzzled and curious. And then, like a master storyteller unrolling an ancient scroll, he began to teach them.
Do you remember in Genesis, when God promised the serpent's head would be crushed by the seed of the woman? From the beginning, suffering was woven into the story of redemption. Do you recall Abraham? How he was asked to sacrifice his only son Isaac on Mount Moriah? That was not just a test, it was a foreshadowing. God would one day provide the true lamb.
Yes, we've heard those stories since childhood.
And Moses. Remember how the blood of the Passover lamb saved the Israelites? That lamb pointed to a greater deliverer. When I say the Messiah had to suffer, I mean he had to become that lamb, slain not just for Israel, but for the world.
But why this way? Why such violence, such shame?
Because sin is violent, shameful. And to destroy its grip, the Messiah had to enter its deepest depths. Isaiah said it plainly. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
They walked in stunned silence. The stranger's words stirred something long dormant. Scripture came alive, not just as history, but as prophecy fulfilled.
The psalm sang of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? That cry was not just David's, it was a foretelling of the cross. And Psalm 22 spoke of pierced hands and divided garments. Do you see now?
Clearer. I never saw it like that before.
And Zechariah said, they will look on the one they have pierced. Daniel saw the Son of Man coming on the clouds after a time of great trial. Every scroll, every prophet, every shadow, it all pointed to the Christ who would suffer first, then rise.
You speak with such authority, like him.
They reached the village. The sun was setting. The road was ending. But their hunger, no longer physical, was just beginning.
Please stay with us. It's almost night. The road is too dangerous after dark.
Very well. I will stay.
They sat together at the table. The food was simple. Bread, olive oil, a cup of wine. But when he took the bread, broke it, and gave thanks,
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Their eyes were opened. It was him. The way his hands moved, the way he gave thanks, it was unmistakable. The risen Christ sat before them, alive, breaking bread like he had at Galilee, like at the upper room. And they saw the wounds in his hands. And just as suddenly as recognition dawned, he vanished.
Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?
We must go back and tell the others. Now, tonight.
Despite the danger of nightfall, they ran. Back to Jerusalem. Back to the others. Back to the very city where their hopes had died, and where their joy had just been resurrected. They had walked with the Word himself, and now they would not be silent. Imagine it, the author of Scripture walking them through the story, showing how every shadow pointed to him, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, the Passover lamb, the suffering servant, the risen king. He reinterprets everything they thought they knew. Still, they do not yet know it is Jesus. Not until they reach Emmaus. Not until he sits at the table. Not until he blesses the bread, breaks it, and gives it to them. What do we learn about Jesus in this story? Jesus walks with us even when we don't recognize him. He doesn't wait for our clarity to join us. He comes near in our confusion, enters our questions, and listens patiently to our pain. When we walk away from our expectations, disillusioned and disoriented, he walks with us. He is not absent in our uncertainty. He is present, even hidden, drawing us into deeper understanding. Jesus reveals himself through Scripture. His rebuke isn't for their sorrow. It's for their slowness to believe what had already been spoken. Sometimes our hearts are slow to trust, even when truth is in front of us. But Jesus doesn't just drop truth like a stone. He walks us through it. He interprets. He teaches. He brings light to our darkness, not by bypassing Scripture, but by illuminating it. Jesus is known in the breaking of the bread. The moment of recognition didn't happen on the road or during the lecture. It happened around the table, in a shared meal, in an echo of the Last Supper, in an act of communion. This teaches us revelation is not just intellectual, but relational. Jesus is known in intimacy, in fellowship, in the sacred rhythms of shared life. And when we invite him in, when we give him space in our homes and hearts, he reveals himself more fully. Lastly, we learn encountering the risen Christ turns us around. Cleopas and his companion had been walking away from Jerusalem, away from the place where hope was being rekindled. But when they saw Jesus, when the scriptures made sense and the bread was broken, they couldn't stay away. They ran back, back to community, back to mission, back to the unfolding story of redemption. Let's get deep. What this conversation reveals about Jesus. Jesus is patient with our slowness and confusion. He doesn't scold from a distance. He draws near. His presence is a gentle balm for those who ache, and he welcomes even our mistaken assumptions as starting points for deeper truth. Jesus is the center of all Scripture. He doesn't discard the Old Testament. He fulfills it. The law, the prophets, the Psalms, they all whisper his name. In a world that fractures truth into bits and pieces, Jesus gathers it all into himself. He is the thread that holds the tapestry together. Jesus shows up in ordinary moments, not just in sermons or miracles, but in conversations and meals, in long walks and broken bread. He is not just the Christ of the mountaintop, but of the dusty road and the evening table. He meets us where we are, and Jesus sends us. Once we've seen him, once we've heard his voice and understood his story, we cannot remain silent. We are called to return to the places we thought were dead ends, with news that changes everything. He is alive. Father, thank you for walking with us even when we don't recognize you. Thank you for the patience of Jesus, who meets us in our confusion and leads us gently into truth. Open our eyes to see him in the scriptures, in the breaking of bread, and in the everyday moments of our lives. Give us burning hearts and willing feet to share the good news with others. Help us to remember that your Son is never far from us, especially on the road. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.